How many know that today is an opportunity that's unprecedented for the kingdom in spite of all the current events that we see happening? Don't be confused. Don't think the devil's winning and it's not getting darker. The days of the righteous grow brighter and brighter day by day. And God's opening up great opportunities for us. Last night at the Woolstein Center, Pastor Adam and Jenna were there. Many others were there. Nick Fusisic, I think is his name. No hands, no feet. Stood in front of how many thousands would you say were there? 5,000 people, 5,000 teenagers, and gave testimony and said, if I can do it, you can do it. Over 1,000 came forward that I heard, maybe more, and gave their life to Jesus Christ last night, right here in Cleveland. Isn't that great? That's amazing. The antivirus program, the curriculum comes out of the book of Proverbs. So they say you can't talk about God in the schools. Now they're inviting us to come in and talk about God in the schools. Now you can't say God, but you can give them their word, right? You give them the word of God. So I hope that you'll respond and see Pastor Adam and Jenna. It's going to be an amazing opportunity to impact young people's lives. The schools are open to us. They're asking for us to come. Please come. So let's go. All right? Be great. If you weren't here last week, by show of hands, I don't know how many of you were not here last week. The first service, there was at least 100 people that raised their hand. How many were not here last Sunday? May I see your hand, please? Okay, quite a few. Not quite 100, but I'd say at least 70 or so. Let me give you a little background on what I taught on last week, because this is part two. And this is a very important message, because I believe as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So your thinking is vital to your success in life, the way you live life. And so if we go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, we're going to start there with the word. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, Paul writes this, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord." The word testify is an important word. It's like submitting testimony to a court that can be weighed as evidence to make a decision. It's a legal term. And Paul said, "I am testifying in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk." Now notice when he said that, he created a separation. A separation between one group of people and another. He said, "I'm giving you testimony that you as a believer do not live like those who are non-believers." There is a natural separation that takes place. Now, the separation that takes place between the two groups of people is in the mind. Everybody say, in the mind. In the mind. So he says, "I don't want you to walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk," or Gentile thinking, "in the futility of their mind." Now, this is important for us to grasp, because my history, your history, whether we had a very painful childhood or a great childhood, it doesn't matter. But things happen in our lives, right? People hurt us. Situations occur. Sometimes we're abused. Sometimes we're abandoned. Some tragedies occur. But anyway, our history coupled, mixed together with Satan's current strategy in your life, in my life. When those things occur, they will conspire together to create a view of yourself that can hold you into bondage and keep you into futility or Gentile thinking. Now, the devil will exploit our past with current circumstances to reinforce the fact that this is the way it will always be. Do you know there are a lot of people living life beneath their potential? And a lot of it is because we don't take risk or walk by faith, because we believe this is our plight in life. In other words, you go to work and they're going to be passing out raises this week. You get there and you don't get one. You think, well, you know what? That always happens to me. I never get the raise. They get it, but I don't get it. Oh, well, that's the way my life is. That's futility in thinking. What it is your past coupled with Satan's current strategy to reinforce your past, which will reinforce the futility of thinking, which keeps you in bondage or limits you or keeps you beneath your potential or the calling of God upon our lives. So, we talked about this last week and said the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19, is all of our responsibility, right? Let's read it together. I think if we can get to Matthew 28, verse 19, most of you know it anyway, but let's read it. Go therefore and what? Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now notice the word disciple. The word disciple can be defined as learner, a learner. So the admonition of Jesus is to go into the nations and teach them a way of life. I like the term colonization. Say that with me. Colonization. Now, the late Miles Monroe taught remarkably about this topic. If you've never heard his teaching on colonization, you need to get it. But if you've ever gone on a cruise or gone to the Caribbean and you get off for a port stay and you go to the local car rental and you want to get a car to explore the island, they're going to give you some instruction. They're going to say, now, we just want you to know we drive on the opposite side of the road than you drive. Now, they're not under British rule, but at one time, Great Britain pretty much colonized the known world. They were in every nation, and when they got to these nations, they taught them the way of life according to the British. I'll give you an illustration. I was in Africa not long ago preaching, and I came down to get in the car to go to the meeting without a tie on. Well, you know, it's 104 degrees. I'm going to a church that doesn't have any sidewalls. Chickens run through the sanctuary when you're preaching. There's only one naked light bulb hanging from the ceiling. We don't even have chairs. There's a few benches. It's a dirt floor. Come on, I don't need to wear a tie, right? No, wrong. And the pastor asked me, where is your tie? I said, why would I need a tie? Because the pastors won't listen or hear you if you're not wearing one, because it is our custom to wear a tie. And my question was, where'd you learn that? Because they were under British rule, they were taught the formality of how to present oneself in a church. They also taught them how to drive their vehicle. They say they drive on the right side. We, Americans, drive on the wrong side. But if you're used to driving on the right side of the road, and you go to one of those nations and rent a car, and now you have to think differently. You get in the vehicle, you're on the left lane going straight. Cars are coming towards you from the right side. You go to make a turn, and it's completely the opposite of what you're normally used to. It is because they have been so colonized, the British, even though they no longer rule, left their rulership behind for the people who now have engrafted it into their daily lifestyle. Jesus said, go into all the world and colonize every nation. Now, what is the rule that we're bringing into the nations? Kingdom. Everybody say kingdom rule. Kingdom. Jesus said, go to the nations and bring kingdom rule. Last week we said the first nation that we have to colonize or disciple is our imagination. Image nation. Your perspective, my perspective, how we see ourselves, see life, establishes a government or a rule of which we abide under and live under. And we will become subject to that rule. That's why our perspective has to come from heavenly wisdom and not earthly wisdom. There are only two kinds of wisdom on the earth. It's either heavenly wisdom or it's earthly wisdom. If we have a view or perspective based on earthly wisdom, we are going to find ourselves in a place that is not kingdom, but rather it is worldly. Now, the first nation we need to evangelize or make a disciple of is our imagination. The mental images or concepts of what is not actually present to the senses. This is really important for the Christian because we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Meaning I don't have to see it to believe it. I don't have to feel it to know it. I don't have to possess it to have it. Because I walk by faith. Kingdom rule immediately challenges earthly wisdom that says if you don't have the money, you're broke. Colonized mind for the kingdom said, it doesn't matter what I have in my pocket. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I am rich. I am wealthy. I have all my needs met. I have no lack in my life. I don't know poverty. Poverty is a spirit. I've been redeemed from it. You see, I don't need the natural evidence because I have the government rule of the kingdom that tells me who I am, what I can do, and what I can have. You follow me so far? All right, let me show it to you. James chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. I'm not going to read all of this, but just as a way of review. Earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. We understand that the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. I talked about that a little bit last week, and if you want to get into it, you'll have to get the recording. You can go online. It's free. You just listen to it or download it, however you want to do it. But go on to the next verse, please, verse 18. I want you to begin to see how this begins to develop. It said, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Next verse, please. And he goes on to talk about the variances. He said, where wars and fights come from among you, don't they come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? The James 4? No. Not James 4. James 3. How did we get there? And then you finished with 18. We missed some. We're missing some. Did I not give it to you? I apologize. Let me just paraphrase it. You can look at it later in the context of it. I don't know why that happened. But it tells us that earthly wisdom is sensual, earthy, and demonic. It also says that out of earthly wisdom comes two characteristics, selfishness and jealousy. Selfishness and jealousy come out of earthly wisdom. So therefore, a person who's adhering to earthly wisdom, driving on the wrong side of the road in life, you're driving on the wrong side of the road, are going to walk out in jealousy and selfish ambition. But here's the kicker. James 3 tells us this, that when we operate in this kind of wisdom, we become an attraction or a portal opens to every evil thing. Say every evil thing. In other words, demons are attracted to selfishness and jealousy. Demonic powers are empowered by those of us who have operated in our viewpoint in earthly wisdom. That's why our homes become demonized. Our marriages become demonized. Our businesses become demonized. Our communities become demonized. It becomes an activity of that which steals, kills, and destroys. But the heavenly wisdom is the exact opposite of that. So we talked about that last week more in detail. Let's move on, though, in 1 Corinthians 15:47. Are you with me so far? Yes. All right. 1 Corinthians 15:47. Do you have that scripture? All right, great. Notice this. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The first man. Everybody say first man?
First man.
Who was that?
Adam.
So Adam was made of what?
Dust.
Now, the Bible said the second man, who's the second man?
Jesus.
He is the Lord from where?
Heaven.
So he didn't come from dust. He didn't come from the earth. He came from heaven. Now that's important for us to know. That's why I told people when I go to heaven and you're burying me or whatever you do to me after I'm gone with this physical body, do not say dust to dust and ashes to ashes, because I am not from the dust any longer, because I came from the dust, but I've been born again, which tells me now I am from heaven. My source in life is now a heavenly source, not a earthly source. So don't try to put me back from where God saved me from. If any man be in New Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are, all things have become new. You follow what I'm saying? So we see the difference. We have the first man is earthy, of the dust. The second man, Christ, is from the heavenly. Go to 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. I'd like for all of us to read this, and so engage me just for a minute as we do so, okay? Let's try it. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and so where is sanctification, righteousness, and redemption? In Christ. Where is wisdom from heaven? In Christ. That's why John tells us, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The Bible also tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That Bible sitting in your lap is Jesus. He became flesh. The Word became flesh. The Scripture tells us that He is our wisdom. Now I know where wisdom is. It lies between the pages of the Bible. I know that His Word is the rule. His Word is the colonization authority to kind of transform the way I think. So therefore, in Him not only is wisdom, but righteousness, sanctification, and redemption are all in Jesus. Now, notice something. The old man feeds on earthy, soulish, demonic wisdom. It thrives. It desires. It hungers for it. It has to have it, because that's how it's sustained. The old man is sustained by earthy wisdom, which is sensual, demonic, and soulish. That's why pornography can be a huge industry in America, because the old man thrives on sensuality. He's got to have it. It's what sustains it. You follow me? And as a result, this old man, now listen, this is important. As a result, when you feed on earthly wisdom, you believe what Satan tells you about who you are. You're a loser, you'll always be a loser. You're nothing, you'll never amount to anything. You are not educated. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. I don't have any value. You believe what Satan tells you about you when you operate in earthly wisdom. It's reinforced by what others say and by what you've experienced. Satan's current circumstances, based on your history, will conspire together to keep you in bondage on a viewpoint of self-destruction. You follow what I'm saying? So now we see that when the old man feeds on this earthly wisdom, he believes what Satan says who he is. He believes what Satan says he can do. That's why many in the kingdom are underachievers. God's got a great destiny and purpose for our life, but we don't achieve it because we don't believe that we can. We quote, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, but because our thinking has been driving on the wrong side of the road, we constantly crash into things. And the enemy likes to put us in our place. Not only do we believe what Satan says we can do, we believe what Satan says we can have. Now, I've never been to so many doctors that I have been in the last 6 weeks. I went to two of them this week. They're great people. I love doctors. Nothing wrong with them. But many of them operate in earthly wisdom. And just because you're earthy, I'm not coming to your party. Have you ever gone to a doctor and they ask you for your family history? Well, I have to admit to you here before everyone, I have lied to my doctors. I did. I've lied to them. They said, now tell me, Is there any cancer in your family? I said, no, no. No cancer in my family. What? Well, what about this? And what about heart this? And what? No, I said, no, no. Well, what'd your families die of? I said, old age. Because I know what earthly wisdom is going to conclude. They're going to say that if your papa had it, and your grandpappy probably had it, you're probably going to have it as well. I said, well, you know, that might be true to you, but because I don't need earthly wisdom, the bloodline has made a separation between how you all think and how I think. And I'm sorry, I'm just not going to agree with you. Or I'm not going to agree with you. He said, well, if that's the truth, why are you up there limping around in that place? Keep watching, you're going to see me running here soon. It's all right. I got my arm up that high. See, this world will say when you get old, you won't be able to walk. This world will tell you that when you get old, you'll end up in some crummy, underrated nursing home where they'll strap you into a chair, push you in a corner, and you'll go back and forth in there, food dripping down your mouth, and you'll be tied in, everybody ignoring you, and the family will never see you. That's what the world will say. But all of a sudden, you know, you're eating off of heavenly wisdom, and the Bible says, the days of the righteous grow brighter and brighter day by day. I'm thinking the longer I live, the better it's going to get. Right? You say, well, that's foolish. Look at everybody around you. I can't help. I'm not accountable for how all them people think. All I know is that my days are growing brighter. I don't know what God has for me, but, you know, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. You say, well, what are you going to do with your retirement? If you don't have retirement money, how are you going to live? You going to mooch off your kids? Maybe. Now, I won't need to mooch. Why won't you need to mooch? Because my days are growing brighter. I'm not sure, but I think I might go on a world cruise when I'm about 75 or 80. He said, well, how are you going to afford that? I don't know. I ain't got no problem with that. That's God's problem. He just told me I'm blessed when I rise up and blessed when I lie down. And I'm blessed when I go in the city. And I'm blessed when I go in the field. So all I know is it's his opportunity to bless me. I've got a different way of thinking. I'm driving on the right side of the road. Just because the majority eats off the earthly wisdom doesn't mean you have to as well. All right. However, contrasted the old man feeding on earthly wisdom, the new man feeds on manna from heaven. Say manna from heaven. And there he discovers something, his identity in Christ, who he is in Jesus. And he sees himself the way the Father sees him. That's why you square your shoulders and you walk around like you're somebody, because you are. You walk around with anticipation and expectation of good coming to your life. This morning, T and I were coming in agreement in prayer. And I said, God, you sat on the seventh day and rested after you created everything, day and night, the whole deal. And you said it was good. And you haven't declared it bad since. So therefore, this is a good day, God, because of what you said. Regardless of what the enemy brings, I refuse to eat dirt. Earthly wisdom. Heavenly wisdom tells you who you are in Christ. Heavenly wisdom, as a result, believes what God tells him about who he is, what he can do, and what he can have. I believe that about what he can have. Now, the key, though, to transformation in your mind is your human spirit requires heavenly manna to sustain itself. Look at your neighbor and say, drive on the right side of the road. Your human spirit, your human renewed spirit has to have heavenly manna to sustain itself, its strength, and shed the futility of thinking that held you in bondage. However, if out of 168 hours a week, we come to church 1 hour on Sunday, that's 0.59% of your week. And you're getting wisdom from heaven for 0.59% a week. Now you have how many times? 99.48% of your day or your week eating dirt? Earthly wisdom? Remember last week we used the illustration? The average person in America watches 6 hours of television a day. Because we're holy, I'll just say 3. But if you watch 3 hours of television a day, go to church 1 hour on Sunday, you are dedicating your entire week to the induction of earthly wisdom. There's not one program on television that I've seen yet, and I don't watch programs that often, but I don't see one that gives me heavenly wisdom. I've not seen George Simpson say anything about heavenly wisdom. What's his name? Simpson. George? Is his name George? Barney? What's his name? Somebody tell me. Bart. Bart doesn't know heavenly wisdom. He knows earthly wisdom. So here you are being taught, being colonized about earthly wisdom, and you don't know who you are, what you can do, or what you can have, other than destruction, limitation, and control. Now, how many have ever been to Haiti? I know Pastor Troy has. Let me see your hand. There's a couple right there, some Haiti people. Yeah. In Haiti, they produce what they call dirt cookies. Have you ever heard of it? It was in the news. There is a scarcity of food, so what they do is the mothers will prepare dirt cookies. Yeah, they make them out of dirt. You say, well, who would eat that? Well, if you're hungry, you'll eat just about anything. But notice how they produce a dirt cookie. They take oil and salt, mixed with dirt, formulate them, and the children will eat them. Immediately it fills their bellies, but then it makes them sick. The devil will concede to allow you to have a born-again spirit in the same body as long as you keep an unrenewed mind going at the same time. Oil, Holy Spirit. Salt, Word. There are a lot of Christians who have come alive in the Holy Spirit and hear the Bible preach and go to classes and even read their Bible, but because they haven't renewed their mind, they mix God with dirt. Earthly wisdom. Are you following me? And when you do that, the complications are grave. You are malnourished. So the devil will concede the fact that you come to church. The devil will concede the fact that you had an encounter with the Holy Spirit and got knocked down on the floor a couple times. The Holy Spirit will concede the fact that you know a couple Bible verses, as long as he can mix the oil and the salt with dirt, earthly wisdom, so that you will ingest it and assimilate it, or attempt to assimilate it. But you and I were not created to be defeated, nor were we created to be dominated. You and I were created to dominate. That's who God made us to be, to rule and reign with Christ. So the battlefield is mental. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5 tells us, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. Look at the next verse. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, say it with me, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds. Next verse. Casting down, come on, let's read it. All arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, there are some things in my life that I just don't eat. Now, you can eat what you want. I just have made a rule in my life. I don't eat some of those things. One of those things is fried food. I don't eat fried food. So if I sat down somewhere and somebody said, oh, look, we got some of this fried chicken in here. It's really good. And boy, it looks crispy and smells wonderful. And how would you like some? I said, you know, I'm just not hungry. Thank you very much. I'm not going to say, well, I don't eat that. If you do, you're going to get cholesterol. You're going to die. I'm not going to say any of that. I'm just going to say, no, thank you. I'm not hungry. Or I don't care for any, but I appreciate you providing me the opportunity. That was wonderful. There are times, most of the time, like in the month of October, my family, we're celebrating a birthday almost every month. There's like 25 of us or something. There's a lot of us. And in the month of October, we have 5 birthdays. So we're like, happy birthday to you. Yeah. All right, happy birthday. Then next week, happy birthday to you. And then the same week, happy birthday to you. You're like, yeah. And occasionally they have cake and ice cream at those birthday parties. Most of the time my kids know not to cut a piece for dad because I don't eat cake. And I don't eat ice cream. Most of the time. I find myself, though, going off the grid, falling off the wagon, when I get depressed, or I walk in despair, or I feel like I need to be rewarded because everybody's been picking on me. Give me some ice cream. Nobody relates to that, I know. But there's times when I'm like, I don't care, I'm having some. And I find myself making poor decisions based on my mood and my attitude. So I've come to a conclusion. Walking and living in joy helps me lose weight. Walking and living in despair and depression, I'm gaining weight. So really the diet is in the way I think. Not necessarily in what's being presented. It's what I think. So listen to this. Satan attempts to control my mind with earthly thoughts in order to captivate my will. The prize of his warfare, or the spoil of his warfare, is my will. However, Holy Ghost uses the Word of God, or heavenly thoughts, in order to capture my mind. And God's spoil is to establish the will of God in the earth through me. When your mind and my mind is captured by God through the Holy Spirit, we can surely see thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It is through the mind of the believer that the kingdom is established. Watch. It is in the mind of the African pastor that he wears a tie when it's 104 degrees. It's in the mind of those drivers in the Caribbean who were once under British rule that still drive on the opposite side of the road, because that's in their mind. It has then dictated how they live. So you and I then, to establish kingdom rule, we have to have a transformed mind. How many would say amen?
Amen.
So mental meditation produces attitudes. For example, thoughts of despair can produce an attitude of fear. Thoughts of depression can produce an attitude of shame, or an attitude of guilt. So if we're living in joy or in despair, it's going to cause an attitude based on what we have embraced. If I believe my circumstances above what God said about my life, now I'm going to enter into despair because I'm not seeing with my senses what I believe God ought to give me. So I get depressed, I get angry, I get frustrated, I want to quit, I want to go have a cookie. Because I deserve a cookie. I want a cookie. And the devil said, let me bake you up a batch, baby. Most men and women sin when they're in despair. You think you need that little rendezvous with whoever. I ain't gonna say it. I got in trouble a few weeks ago. I said something. I don't know what it was, but Tina said, don't say that no more. I said, okay. You click on the wrong website when you're in depression or despair, anguish, because you feel like you need a cookie and you deserve it. Because why is everybody always picking on me? Why is it that I'm always on the bottom of the barrel? Why is it I'm always getting rejected? There it goes again. See, God, when are you going to turn this thing around? Oh, shoot, I'm just going to go have a few drinks. I'm going to get high. I'm going to get drugged. I'm going to go out and have a party. I'm going to just make myself feel good. It may feel good when you're eating it, but when it goes down like the dirt cookie, it's going to make you sick. You follow what I'm saying? What did you say, Mark? Two-thirds. What did you say? Two-thirds of that cookie is kingdom. One-third is earthy. One-third taints the whole. One-third taints the whole. So I've got to realize the source that this is coming from, earthly wisdom. No, I don't act like that. See, I love Tina because she's lovable. But there are some days she's not as lovable as others. Let me sit down on that one. And vice versa. She loves me because I'm lovable. But I have to admit there are days I'm less lovable. I didn't say not lovable, less. In those moments, she has to make a decision how to respond to me. She loves me because she loves Jesus. And now she's honoring Him and His Word in relationship to me, not reacting to my conduct or words and changing her position. She's not adding dirt to the oil and the salt. You can't allow the enemy to bake you a cookie in the middle of conflict. He'll be ready to feed you that dessert in a heartbeat because he knows that we are in that place of vulnerability. Our sustainability as a believer is heavenly wisdom. I remember one time getting a call. It was about 3 a.m. This is many, many years ago when I first started pastoring. And the voice on the other side was screaming, "Get over here. If you don't get over here, I'm going to kill him." I swear, it's a true story. I said, "What's going on?" And the husband's in the back, "This woman's crazy, blankety, 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 blankety. You better get over here and do something with her." And she's yelling, and she said, "I'm going to get a gun." And I'm like, whoa, hold it. What are you all doing? Now, they had just been to church Sunday. I'm not kidding you. They were singing in the choir, man. And they were finding themselves in a place of changing their identity, who they were, what they do, and what they can have, based on the abuses and the lack of the past and the current situation of Satan's present compiled together to put their mind back in the futility bondage of despair. And I said, "Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get in a corner and read Psalm 91. And you get in the other corner and read Psalm 91. And don't come out of the corner until you can bless one another." I said, "I can't do that." I said, "Well, you have to do that because I'm not coming over at 3 a.m. I know what happens on domestic disputes. I'm not getting in the middle of your mess. Read the Bible. We ought to read the Bible. The Bible. I don't need a Bible. I need you to come over here and tell him something." Mental meditation produces attitudes. Watch this. Attitudes creates thoughts, which determine emotions. In other words, expectations line up with thoughts. People will walk around going, "Hey, I don't have an expectation of things changing. I told you so. Nothing ever goes good for me." That's not true. Now watch Paul. This is a great example, and I'm about to close. How many know that Paul the Apostle went through some pretty bad times? If you read your Bible, how many times was he shipwrecked? 3 or 4? I can't remember. 3? Shipwrecked 3 times. How many times? No. Yeah. How many times was he beaten with 40 stripes? 3 or 4. A lot of them. How many? He was stoned once. "So, how's your day?" "Great." What's all them marks all over your body? Oh, I got stoned last night. No, not that kind. Literally got stoned. Read about it in the Bible. He got stoned, man. People tried to kill him. Seriously. He was in prison, falsely accused, over and over again. Now, if any man had the right to eat a cookie, I say, Paul, get yourself a cookie. Get two of them. You deserve it. But Paul didn't eat the cookie because he realized something about the Word of God and heavenly wisdom. Here it is, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. I want you to get this verse. I'm like one or two verses from the end. I just want you to read the first half. Are you ready? Let's read it like we're excited because the Browns are winning. All right, let's just read it because it's sunshiny outside. All right, ready? Let's read it. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Stop right there. Thanks be to God. Why? Because Christ, how many times? Always leads you where? Into triumph. Paul knew something. Didn't matter if he was in the brink trying to wade around in the ocean. Doesn't matter if he was getting 38, 39. Didn't matter how many times they beat him. Didn't matter how many rocks they were throwing at him. Didn't many times he was falsely accused. Why? Because he knew that he didn't walk by his natural senses, but he walked by what God has declared over him. And he said this, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph over in Christ. Why? Because he said the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Come on, say same Spirit. That raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. So the same Spirit that raised Christ out of death. Raise Christ out of what the devil tried to do. Raise Christ into the will and purposes of God. Raise him up. Dwells in you. Look at somebody and say, in you. Why am I asking you to do that? Because the Bible tells us that if it's in us that raised Christ from the dead, it's going to quicken. It's going to make alive your mortal body. What does that mean? Everything about your natural life, God's going to make it come alive. Make it come alive. Why? Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. The devil will come and take your past, take your that circumstances, compile them together and say, see, here's the evidence to your sensory realm that nothing ever changes. And you say, oh, I think I need a cookie. Yeah, why don't you take a cookie? Why don't you just eat that thing and just take that earthly wisdom, open up a portal for a demon spirit to come into your marriage, demon spirit to come into your children, a demon spirit to come into your church, a demon spirit to come into the White House, a demon spirit to come into your house. Come on, church. But we know better now because the Bible said that he's going to raise us. If he raised Christ up, he's going to raise me up. So now thanks be to God who always leads me in triumph in Christ. I don't know what it looks like right now, but I'm about to win. I'm about to get the victory. I'm about to have triumph because my God is able to raise me up in that moment of trial. Look at somebody and say, you're about to get a raise. I am convinced, hear me, I am convinced negative emotions produce feelings that are low emotionally, which often lead to sinful behavior. Most Christians fall into sin because they get depressed. Most preachers fall into sin because they have despair. Because they have despair, they have to satisfy the longing of the flesh. What does the flesh live on? Earthly wisdom. The flesh longs for it. In order to maintain it, you've got to have intake. So you're going to go to the wrong channel on TV, or you're going to order something you shouldn't have ordered, or you're going to drink something you shouldn't have drank, or you're going to talk to somebody you shouldn't have talked to. Why? Because earthly wisdom has to have it, that source, that natural, demonic, sensual source to sustain itself. You've just fallen in to the reliance on earthly wisdom. But when that situation arises in your life, you've got to talk to that situation and say, listen, I believe that Christ is able to raise me up because the Holy Ghost raised him up. I believe the Holy Spirit's about to raise me up, and I always triumph in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to stay here. You're looking at somebody now, but you come back next week, and I'm going to be able to go a little bit higher. I'm going to be able to go a little bit further. I'm going to be able to be a little bit stronger because I know that my God shall supply all my need. I know that He has never left me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. I know that I've been young and I've been a little bit older, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I just want to tell you about my Jesus. He's all that in a bag of chips, man. My God is able to do all things, amen. Because He's able to do all things, I can do all things. So you're going to have to concede the fact that you're not going to eat no more dirt cookies. Resolve today not to be moved by what you feel, see, hear, touch, or taste. Doctor asked me the other day, he said, what medications are you on? I said, none. He said, you don't take any medications? I said, no. Now what medications do you take? If I did, I wouldn't tell you anyway. No, I tell him. But it's almost like they want you to fit into a slot of their expectation. You don't have to be another statistic. You don't have to fill the expectation of the standard of this world, young person. You do not have to comply nor conform with the standard of this world. You are above that. And Christ is going to cause you to triumph in everything in your life. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, this morning we need a transformation in this place. God, help us. Father, touch the lives of each man and woman in this room, God, that we would say, no, thank you. I don't eat dirt. I want wisdom from God. You're here today. You don't know if you were to die, you'd go to heaven or hell. You say, preacher, I don't know. If I'm going to go to heaven, I don't really know about my future, but I'd like to know. Could you pray with me? I'd like to know. Absolutely. That's why we're here. We're here to pray with you, to enter you into the kingdom. But honey, listen to me. A prayer and you're born again spirit, that's awesome. But we've got to get you driving on the right side of the road. You've got to become a steward of the Word of God. Amen. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need that prayer, would you pray for me? If that's you, I just want you to hold your hand up there for a hold, just for a second. Let me see it, and then you can put it down. Thank you in the back there. God bless you. Anyone else? That person, thank you back there as well. Anyone else? Say, yeah, I need that prayer, man. I've got to give my life to Christ. All those hands have been raised. Thank you for that. How many of you, though, today would say, I need to change my thinking. I got to attach myself to heavenly wisdom. I've been seduced by the wisdom of this world. I've got to change. I don't know about you, but I have to raise my hand. I'd have to say, yeah, I'm gonna be more disciplined. I'm gonna colonize my life with the kingdom of God. Is that you today? That's me. I'm telling you, that's me. Is that you today? Amen. All right, altar ministers, would you mind coming across the front of this room? I want to share with you as they're coming. If you look at me just for a second, I'm going to keep you about two more minutes. You understand the challenge that we're facing in ministry right now with children. Did you realize that we are fast following the track of Europe? Secularization. Less than 4% of Europeans go to church on a Sunday. 4%. America is falling into that trap, and I'm telling you why. It's because our kids are getting salt and oil, but they're eating the dirt. They are ingesting the wisdom of this world in their schools and in their colleges. And many of you know what I'm talking about. That's why it's important that we get into these schools and teach them out of the book of Proverbs in this antivirus program. And I hope that you'll get involved. Why? Because if we don't change their thinking, by the time they're 18, they're gone. They're gone. They're not coming back to church. They're not coming back to church. Because they've been seduced by the wisdom of this world that is earthy, sensual, and demonic. And we need to create an atmosphere in our children's ministry that is totally revolutionary. I shared with the West this morning, we're going to put $100,000 into a brand new children's wing. Here, we don't have that facility, but here's what I say. We need to revolutionize our whole children's ministry. We need to create a wisdom imaginarium where the children are taught wisdom thinking in every dimension of life. And we need your help to do it. This can't happen by just throwing one teacher in there. This needs to be an embracing of our community to teach our children, our young people, our young adults how to think kingdom thoughts, how to drive on the right side of the road. I need your help. We need each other's help. Our children need our help like never before. I'm going to ask you to begin to get involved, to participate. Let's make our children's wisdom center, our wisdom imaginarium, premier in Northeastern Ohio. School districts will come and say, I don't know what you're teaching these kids, but they think successfully. They think victoriously. They think morally. They think amazingly. Would you help us? Can we bring our students to your center? That's what I'm believing. I'm believing we're going to be attractive to a generation who are losing grip with their students. If you'll help me and pray with that, see Becca. Get a hold of Becca. Call the office. Say, look, I want to be a part. I don't know what I need to do, but I want to be a part. See Adam and Jenna right afterwards. Get involved in this antivirus. Many of you in that survey said we need to be involved more in our schools. Well, now here's your opportunity. Come on and help us. Come on and help us. Come on and help us. Amen. We're going to stand in a minute if you need prayer physically for your body. We believe that Jesus heals. If you need prayer for your marriage, you need a word from the Lord for direction. Maybe you need to give your life to Christ. Maybe rededicate your life to Christ. Baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. We want to pray with you. But we believe that this is the moment you can interface with God, all right? So let's stand up to our feet. Thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for your patience with me as I continue my rehab. It's a lot of investment of my time. I thank you for your prayers as well. You raise your hand, would you come and let us pray? You raise your hand, would you come? If you need prayer for any of those areas in your life, would you come right now and let us pray? God bless all of you so much. I appreciate that. Now remember this, Wednesday night at 7:00, and you'll begin to experience a whole cultural of the kingdom this Wednesday at 7. Don't miss it. It's going to be a great opportunity. Tell somebody today, live right, love everybody, pray hard. Would you do that? God bless all of you. We'll see you next time.